For the Roman Catholic child, how beautiful yet sad is his first communion. With joy and anxiety, he is about to eat for the first time what he has been taught to believe to be his God, not in a symbolical or commemorative way, but to eat his flesh, his bones, his hands, his feet, his head, his whole body. I had to believe this or be cast forever into hell. Yet, all the time, my eyes, my hands, my mouth, my tongue, my reason told me that I was eating only bread. Shall I say that I believed this? I believed like all good Roman Catholics believe. I believed as a corpse believes. My reason and senses had been sacrificed at the feet of that terrible modern God, the Pope. Foolishly, I had said to my intellectual faculties and my senses, "Hush, you are liars. Till now I had believed you were given by God to help me walk in the dark paths of life, but behold, the Holy Pope teaches me that you are only instruments of the devil to deceive me." Such was my own condition on the day of my first communion. Two feelings were at war in my mind. I rejoiced that I would soon have full possession of Jesus Christ. At the same time, I was humbled by the absurdity of it. Though scarcely 12, I had been in the habit of trusting my eyes. I thought that I could easily distinguish between a small piece of bread and a full-grown man. Besides, I extremely abhorred the idea of eating human flesh and drinking human blood, even when assured that they were the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ himself. But what troubled me most was the idea that God, so great, so glorious, so holy, could be eaten by me like common bread. Terrible then was the struggle in my young heart, where joy and dread, trust and fear, faith and unbelief, by turns had the upper hand. While in the cold perspiration of that secret struggle, known only to God and to myself, I prayed to God and the Holy Virgin for mercy, strength, and light during these hours of anguish. The Church of Rome is the most skillful human machine the world has ever seen. Those who guide her dark paths are often men of deep thought. They understand the struggle in the minds of children at the supreme moment when they would have to sacrifice their reason on the altar of Rome. To prevent those struggles, always so dangerous to the Church, nothing has been neglected to distract the mind to other subjects. First, the parish priest, helped by the vanity of the parents themselves, sees that the children are clothed in every way best calculated to flatter their vanity. The church building is pompously decorated, and the service charmed with choice vocal and instrumental music. Incense ascends from the altar in a sweet-smelling cloud. People come from every direction to enjoy the beautiful spectacle. Priests from neighboring churches add to the solemnity. The officiating priest is dressed in the most costly attire. Silver and gold altar clothes are displayed before the wondering spectators. Often a lighted candle is placed in the hand of each. Young communicant. This itself would draw his whole attention, for a single false motion would set fire to the clothes of his neighbor or his own, a misfortune which has happened more than once in my presence. Now in the midst of that wonderful spectacle, busy holding the lighted taper, to keep from being burned alive, the moment of communion arrives without the time for him to think of what he is about to do. He opens his mouth, and the priest puts upon his tongue a flat, thin cake of unleavened bread, which either firmly sticks to his palate or melts in his mouth, soon to go down into his stomach, just like the food he takes 3 times a day. The first feeling of the child, then, is surprise at the thought that the Creator of heaven and earth, the upholder of the universe, the Savior of the world, could so easily pass down his throat. Now follow those children to their homes after the great and monstrous comedy. Listen to their conversation and their bursts of laughter. Study their manners, their glances of satisfaction on their fine clothes, and the vanity which they manifest in return for the congratulations. Notice the lightness of their actions and conversation immediately after their communion, and tell me if you think they believed in the terrible dogma they have been taught. No, and they will never believe it with the firmness of faith accompanied by intelligence. The poor child thinks he believes, and he sincerely tries to do so. He believes as Roman Catholics believe. He believes as an idiot believes. The First Communion has made of him, for the rest of his life, a real machine in the hands of the Pope. It is the first most powerful link of that long chain of slavery which the priest and the church pass around his neck. The Pope holds the end of that chain, and with it will make his victim go right or left at his pleasure, just as we govern the lower animals. As Loyola said, if those children have made a good First Communion, they will be submissive to the Pope. Like the stick in the hands of the traveler, they will have no will, no thought of their own. My soul has known the weight of those chains, the ignominy of that slavery, but the great conqueror of souls cast a merciful eye upon me and broke my chains. With his holy word he has made me free. May his name be blessed forever.